Good to see everybody today. You know, going into this time of year, every year here at Martell Christian Church, we focus on one part of our calling as the church. We go into this time called Missions Emphasis Month, where we hear from some of our own members, where we invite some people in who are doing some amazing work for God around the world, and we get to celebrate that. It's a time where we get to be recharged and rejuvenated by the witness that they give to the amazing things that are going on all around us to the glory of God. We call their works, we see what they're doing, and we call it missions. The idea or the word missions isn't unique to their work, though. It isn't unique just to the church. In fact, there are all sorts of missions out there, all sorts of things that go on that would fall under this classification of missions, this calling of missions. But for every follower of Christ, this word carries with it an important message and an important meaning. Our mission as Christians is special and unique. Our mission is not one to search and destroy, but our mission is to serve and restore. Our mission is not to achieve a victory on a field, but it's to achieve victory in Jesus. But there is one mission that we can never look past. One mission that we can never forget. One mission that reaches back to the beginning of history. In fact, it is history. It is the history of the world, the history of mankind. To the greatest degree, it's not only history, but it's His story. The mission of God and the fulfillment of that mission is the focal point of Scripture. Throughout the story of the Bible, we see the ups and downs of this mission. Of a mission that perseveres thanks to a God that purely loves. A God who looks past and moves past the mistakes, past the pride, past many rejections. It's a mission that, to all imagination, had to go beyond reasoning. To think that God loved us to the point that He was willing to give His Son for us. To some extent, it was a mission impossible. To bring together two things separated by fundamental differences. To bring them back together. See, it's the story that Joe talked about today in his communion meditation. The story of a people that are separated from their holy and just God. But a mission that was completed by one who came. By a God who loved and brought forgiveness that we can have a relationship with Him. But let's not get ahead of ourselves too much. Because this story has a beginning. And where we look and we see God's mission starting, we couldn't help, if we were standing in those shoes, to look ahead and see no way out. To see no possible conclusion. You see, it was the story of a sinless God reaching out to a sinful people. The story of Genesis chapter 3 shows not only a choice made by two people, but also a choice that each of us have made in our own lives. Choice that as I say, we've made, I confess that I've made. A choice to reject God's will and God's ways at times. A choice to say, God, I think I can do better. And a choice that leaves us broken. A choice that leaves us separated. The choice that Adam and Eve made was to not trust the power and the wisdom of God, but to try to take that power and wisdom for themselves. That's why when we see this story in the garden, in Genesis chapter 3, where a serpent is tempting Adam and Eve, he says, when they're talking about eating the fruit, he says, no, eating this will not make you die, but it will make you like God. And each time we choose to go our own way, it's an attempt to try to make our own identity, our own decisions, apart from God. Taking that bite, making that choice, with it, the consequences of sin set in. But that is where God's mission started. God's mission was to bring us back. To bring us back to Him. It was for Him to be back in a perfect relationship with us, His creation, once again. But in that mission, there is a problem. And folks, the problem was us. Why this was such an impossible mission is because we're dealing with a pure God, a holy God, a perfect God, and a people tainted by their sin. It's an uncomfortable message. It's one that we don't like to step in. It's one that we don't like to admit that we need rescued. That we need someone to come in and bring us back. It's one that we want to push off to the side, to sweep under the rug. But in case we miss the severity of this, Hope to Liberia has worked for a long time to provide safe drinking water for the people of Liberia. One of the difficulties of doing this, of providing safe water, is that the moment that water comes into contact with, let's face it, almost anything, that water is no longer pure. That life-giving liquid that we need to sustain our everyday, once it comes in contact, once it's contaminated, it becomes something else. In some cases, even becoming a poison. We don't have to go across the world to see the effects of it. Just a few weeks ago, Carolyn and I got a letter in the mail saying that they were going to be working on the waterways, working on the pipes there in Anamosa. And for days we had to boil the water, we had to go through all of this trouble to get safe drinking water. For days, the water would not be safe because of a moment where contamination could slip in. And we sometimes think about the goodness of God, and we think about the greatness of a God who loves. And we just think, oh, He's so good, He just kind of sweeps that aside. He's so good, He just kind of brushes that past. We latch onto this word of forgiveness in Scripture, and we think, oh, that's great. All he does is say the magic words, and we're done. But as Joe pointed out in his communion meditation, forgiveness comes with a price. And we see that God didn't just push it off to the side. He didn't just say, oh, it doesn't matter. Instead, God went through the mission of coming down and reaching us and cleansing us and bringing us back. So the question became, how could a pure God reach into the world where there is now so much contamination by sin, staying pure while reaching down and touching the hearts of His people to make the impure pure? How could God transform that fundamental difference into a redeemed relationship? You see, God had a plan from the very beginning. A plan that was revealed even when He was telling the consequences of the sin that had entered the world, the consequences of their actions. When God says to the woman and the serpent in Genesis 3:15, I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head and you will strike his heel. God is speaking of the mission that He will now embark on. A mission to bring us back. A mission to be in relationship. And in this mission, God chose not to go at this alone. He chose to get people involved in His mission. He could have done it all by Himself, but He chose to reach down and in the spirit of relationship, in this wanting to be with His people, He chose to get those people involved. And He did it in amazing ways, and we see an amazing story that takes place. As the saying goes, give a man a fish and he'll eat for a day. Teach a man to fish and he'll eat for a lifetime. God worked to teach man how to live in relationship with Him by getting them involved in the process. God worked to teach. He worked to teach so that people would trust. He taught what it meant to be holy. He taught what it meant to what that righteousness, what living a life of righteousness would look like. And He invited a man named Abram to take his family to play a part in the undertaking that would take years for them to see the fruit of their labor. God calls Abram by saying in Genesis 12, verses 1 through 3, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the people of the earth will be blessed through you. It's God continuing His mission. God calls out to Abram to be a part of His plan. For God to work in His family to make them a springboard by which God would send His Son into this world. Through their story, there are times when God's people would be asked to trust. Times when they would be asked to give back to God. Sometimes out of service, sometimes out of sacrifice. To cover the sins and the impurities that they had because of their choices, so that a perfect God would be in their midst. God was showing them the price for sin was indeed death. It's a part of God that often we don't hang around too much. The fact that we serve a perfect God, but in His perfection we serve a just God. A God that doesn't ignore sin. A God that doesn't push things to the side or sweep it where He can't see it for a moment, but a God who deals with sin. We see that God puts forth this example of what it's going to cost to reconcile their relationship. For so long, it was just a shadow of what was to come. Because we look at the Old Testament, we look at pieces of the law, and we see these offerings and these sacrifices, and we think, how is God's mission going to be fulfilled by animals that have to be killed over and over again? People keep on sinning. People keep on having to give. People keep on having to sacrifice. God, how is this mission moving forward? But God is showing them what it's going to take for a perfect, holy God to dwell with contaminated people. See, God sets up a tabernacle, a place where He would dwell with His people. But His people would see that the tabernacle, or even the greatest and grandest temple, could not confine God. His people would look to build bigger and bigger temples, but God was working on a mission to make our hearts His temple, where He could truly dwell within us, in us again. He worked to give them blessings so that one day, through this nation, they could be a blessing to the world. But even as a perfect God worked, He knew who He was working with. He knew He was working with us. People like us. People that make mistakes, people that slip up. And God's missions would be pushed and swayed many times. But we see that it was a mission that perseveres through tests and trials. You see, there are many times in Israel's history, as there's many times in our history, where they messed up, where they fell, where they went back into the sin that they had. But God's plan would not be derailed. And God's mission could not be stopped. And thank goodness it couldn't. God works to deliver His people to a land that He promised. Time and time again, He provides. As the story of the Old Testament goes on, He gives feasts and famine. He parts seas so that His people could walk on dry ground. He gives food in the desert. He leads with a pillar of fire. He makes walls crumble. He protects against the fiercest enemies. But we still see a pattern emerge. In Judges chapter 2, verses 10 and 11, these verses serve for a blueprint of much of Israel's history. It says, after that, a whole generation had been gathered to their ancestors, another generation grew up who knew neither the Lord nor what He had done for Israel. Then the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord and served other gods. It was the pattern of people. A pattern that, as one generation would serve God and as they would pass away, a new generation would rise up, and there were times when that generation, it talks about, did not know God. And one thing pointed out is that for them to not know God, this wasn't that they didn't know things about God. They still knew in their minds what God had done. They still knew in their history books the things that God had done for them. They probably still heard stories of the Red Sea splitting in two. They probably still heard stories about the plagues that would come. They probably still heard stories about the way that God provided for His people by bringing them in the worst of famines through a time where they could still provide not only for themselves but for the world. They would have still known in their heads, but the way that this speaks, they did not know God in their hearts. The generations would rise up, and the only knowledge of God was head knowledge. And there was no relationship with their Creator, no relationship that was found throughout the mission of God, what He was trying to do for His people. Whole generations would come up, and the result was evil, was serving other gods. It didn't start in Judges chapter 2. Even before Judges chapter 2, all the way until Malachi 4:6 and beyond, we see that people's obedience could never be the key, but God's grace would be the mission. We still live needing God's mission. We still live reliant on the fulfillment of His mission. You see, even through all the times where people failed, even through all the times where they didn't live up, they didn't hold up their end of the bargain, God still persevered. God's grace was still enough. God still worked in the lives of His people, and He is still working today. But God promised throughout Israel's history that the mission would be completed. But once again, we see in God's justice, there would be a price to be paid. See, this mission was a mission with a plan for precious pain. God had taught His people the significance of sacrifice. This wasn't to make them accustomed to death. These animals wouldn't die to desensitize His people to the consequence of sin. But it showed the length that God was willing to go to accomplish His mission. As priests had done throughout their history, as God had even done with Abraham after His call, God would provide a perfect lamb to fulfill His mission and to cleanse a sinful people. Isaiah 53:3-6 says, "He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering, familiar with pain. Like one from whom people hide their faces, He was despised, and we held Him in low esteem. Surely He took up our pain and bore our suffering. Yet we considered Him punished by God, stricken by Him and afflicted. But He was pierced for our transgressions, He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. By his wounds, we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us have turned our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Church, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Worthy is Jesus who took our place. From the beginning, God's mission was Jesus, the Son of Man, the Son of God. Death struck him, but Christ crushed death on the third day. And now we can have a relationship with our Lord, our Savior, and our God. God fulfilled his mission. God brought Jesus into this world. And through his justice, the price was paid, but through his love, it was paid not by us, but by his Son, because he loves you and he wants to have a relationship with you. And it's the most amazing message throughout the history of the world that we can share. And it's the focus of the mission that we support. The missions that are done throughout the world, the missions that are done across our street, are all focused on bringing the good news that we serve a God who loves us enough to take us from where we've been. Church, God loves you, and he wants a relationship with you. His mission is to bring his people back into a relationship with him. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, so that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. God's mission has been completed. He calls for you to accept it. If you've never made Jesus Christ the Lord and Savior of your life, if you've never accepted the fulfillment of his mission that we can have a relationship with him, we welcome you to come forward and to talk about what that means to be in relationship with him. God loves you so much, he gave his Son for you. We celebrate that today. Will you please stand and pray with me? Dear God, we just thank you for your Son.